We live in, I call it the middle finger culture, right? Parents, kids don't respect their parents at all, right? Sharia, God's law, tells you to respect your parents. You can't even say what to your...
That's after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ بِالْوَلْدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah commands.
He sat together and he told me, listen, I just have a question for you. I just have a simple question and I want a simple answer. Are you here to kill us? Are you here to take over this country? And, you know, I was shocked.
People got to actually hear him recite some Quran. And were these Christians that were crying?
Yes.
Talk to us about that. This is the name. Assalamu alaikum, how you guys doing? We're going to give you a before and after. Before, when you go to someone ignorant, like many of these people do, isn't that crazy, ironic? And you get fooled, you get duped. Not too long ago, Fox News, they sent out their reporters, and they were asking people in Dearborn, hey man, do you guys like Sharia? You want Sharia? And all of our lovely neighbors out there, they're scared. They think the boogeyman's, they painted like Sharia, like the boogeyman's coming to get you, these Muslims. Now after... When you go to someone with knowledge, and we got someone who was an imam in Dearborn, let's ask him, what's Sharia? And let's see after, look, open your mind. Remember, for the mind to work, it's got to be like a parachute. It's got to be open. Okay, so open your mind, and now you be honest with yourself. After we come to an expert, right, in the area, and it's defined for you, let me see if you still got that same trepidation in your heart. How's that? Assalamu alaikum, guys. I'm here with Imam Bilal, who was actually from Dearborn. Now he's in Daytona.
I'm from Florida now.
Florida. What's Sharia?
Sharia. Well, this is one of the terms that are misunderstood and also misused. The term Sharia simply means the way. Or the instructions or the rulings or the ahkam, the set of ahkam is the meaning of the ahkam is sharia. We find that in the Bible and the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, the term sharia is used. In the Arabic Bible, for example, in the New Testament, the term sharia is mentioned more than 250 times.
Did you guys hear that? The term Sharia, look, in your Bible, in the Bible,
yes.
Right? Because not everybody who reads the Bible is American, right? There's some Christians, yes, who read the Bible, and what language do they speak? If they're Arabic, they're reading the Bible in
Arabic.
In Arabic, right? All right.
And the Arabic Bible is way older than the English Bible.
And what is, and Sharia is in the Arabic Bible?
Yeah, if you go to any Arabic Christian and you ask them about the term Sharia, does the term Sharia exist in the Bible? I think if they are honest, they will say yes, it exists. And it means the way. The Shari'at Musa, they call it Shari'at Musa, the rules or the way of Musa alayhi salam.
Moses
alayhi salam, yes.
So what you're telling us now is that because many people, okay, they can relate to it. Often we tell them, is it true? I mean, you're the imam, you're the academic, you're the scholar in this area. Sharia, we can say Moses. You guys believe in Moses? We believe he was one of the greatest messengers that came with the same message as Jesus and Abraham and Noah. They all call people to worship the creator, not the creation. Muhammad just being the last and final messenger. They all brought Sharia. And the Ten Commandments was Sharia? Is that correct?
Yes. Sharia also means the legislation. So the legislation of Musa alayhi salam and the set of rules and commands of Musa alayhi salam, they are also referred to as Sharia.
Sharia.
So we have the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam.
Moses.
Also we have the Sharia of Moses, peace be upon him. The Sharia of Muhammad also, peace be upon him. But I'm telling you, this is one of the terms that are being misused and also being misunderstood, especially by the mainstream media. They come and also when they talk about Sharia, they say Sharia law, which means law, because Sharia, the meaning of Sharia is law, the law of Moses, the law of Muhammad. So you can't say
La la. Sharia is, you know, the rules regarding divorce, regarding marriage, regarding the way that I deal with you and you deal with me, the way that we deal with our neighbors, the way that we deal with our parents. All of that is considered Sharia.
Sharia is Islam. Islam is Sharia.
Sharia is Islam. Islam is Sharia.
So charity, Sharia.
Sharia.
Being kind to your parents.
This is part of the Sharia, want, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah. So for the parents out there who's we live in, I call it the middle finger culture, right? Parents, kids don't respect their parents at all, right? Sharia, God's law tells you to respect your parents. You can't even say what to your.
That's after Allah subhanahu wa taala says wa qadha rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iyyahu bil walidayni ihsana. Allah commands. And Allah prescribes upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you to believe in Him and do not associate any partners with Him, and that you have to believe that there is no deity worthy of worship except God, except Allah. And then the second thing, the second most important thing after that, after believing in Allah and His Messenger and the articles of faith, is respecting your parents and being dutiful to your parents.
Yeah.
Comes right after Tawheed. Because to the meaning of Tawheed is knowing the rights of Allah upon you. God is the one who created you, then he has the right to be worshipped. And also your parents, because they are the purpose for your existence, and because they raised you, they have a big right, they have a great right upon you, a responsibility upon you to respect them. It's a right that they have upon you, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right upon you that you should worship Him alone.
There are, if I'm correct, 6,236 verses in the verbatim word of God, Quran, right? Now, many people, they get stuck up on the penal code. And we often give this example. It's like if the Martians came down to the America and they want to know about the U.S. Constitution, and we just tell them about the electric chair. We tell them about the penal code, right? The punishment system, right? That's there as a deterrent. And then they didn't get to hear about all the other wonderful things and values that the Constitution espouses on, right? That would be unfair, that would be unjust. But you see that many of the opponents of Islam, the Islamophobes, you know, the people who have this bitter hate in themselves and is projecting out, and they got no one else to point their lives upside down, so they got no one. There was a person standing outside the mosque, not the mosque, in front of the White House. This bewilders me. He's got a sign that says, Islam is the problem, dummy or stupid, right? It's like, you know, we're always, as human beings, we're trying to point, you know, outward instead of reflecting within.
They play the blame game.
Yeah, the blame game. So my question is to you, Imam Sheikh Bilal, is that when people, they go ahead and they talk about, you know, Sharia, they right away think about the penal system in Islam. What does that equate to? What is that, like 1% of the whole, you know, 1 or 2? What percentage-wise?
Barely 1%. You know, the Quran talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks about you as human beings and the way to deal with the Creator, and also how to deal with the creation. And also the Quran also talks about stories from previous generations, talks about prophets and messengers, talks about Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him. So let me put it this way. The verses that talked about maybe Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him, are more than the verses that talk about punishment when you do certain things. So, but people, they're ignorant when it comes to knowing the Quran. The Quran talks about, you know, the purpose for our existence and how to live a meaningful, purposeful life. The Quran talks about how to deal with each other, how to deal with our, as I mentioned, with our parents, with our neighbors, even with our enemies, that we have to be kind to them and we have to be merciful to them and we have to be just to them, even if they wronged us. So the Quran talks about all of that. So to cherry pick or to pick and choose from the Quran, say, hey, look, the Quran talks about violence, the Quran talks about this and that, and take it out of context and misunderstand these verses and why they were revealed and when they were revealed, I think this is a problem, and this is a challenge that we face as Muslims also in the United States. It's just like the example that that we always give, that it's like taking words out of context. For example, saying, listen, George Washington, in one of his speeches, he said, today we will kill all the British. Okay? He said that. But he did not mean that we will kill all the British everywhere, anywhere we find them. He was talking about a specific place. So these verses that talk about violence, the Medina, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, his companions were attacked
and they were thrown away from their, thrown out from their own homes, from their own houses, and their money were taken also, and many of them were killed, and they were persecuted, and they were being abused verbally and physically. And then God, when they went to Al-Madinah, he gave them permission. And I mentioned to you the first verse that was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُذِنَ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Allah gives permission to those people who are being attacked because they were, and also they're being oppressed. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِرٌ. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. They were kicked out from their homes. So Allah gave them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them permission to protect themselves, not to attack. And by the way, all of the battles that took place in the history of Islam, especially those battles that took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protecting the Medina, he was protecting the Muslims. And some people might say, how's that so? And we tell them, Badr, where did it take place? Within the boundaries of Medina, Uhud. Inside Medina, Uhud is a mountain in Medina. Al-Ahzab was inside the Medina. They attacked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the things that people need to pay attention to and try to understand.
So you were actually, Imam, in Dearborn at that time when the Fox News, they were sending reporters and they were you there?
No, I was not there.
No, but you knew, but the guy.
I know the people.
Yeah, was their level of knowledge, and what's your opinion about this? When they, what do you think, are they genuine in their search and quest, you know? Are they picking out just random, real ignorant people? And then when you saw those videos, right? The
yes.
ones we were going to
yes,
show.
Yes.
What's your take on that?
So it's like when you go outside and you start talking to people about the Constitution, just random people, tell them, listen, you know, in the Constitution, you're allowed to kill whomever you want and all of that. They would say, yeah, and they will try to justify that because they're ignorant of the Constitution. I'm just giving you an example. The same thing. You just Fox News, they went and they just found random people, and then they started asking them about terms and about things that they don't know anything about. They don't have any clue about these terms, and they're just ordinary people, and they're happy to see, you know, a lot of people, they see the camera, they just want to talk because they, you know, I want to appear in Fox News, I want to appear in the television. So I think they were not honest. They were not honest, because if you really want to know anything about any religion or about any type of people, you have to go to a reliable source. You have to go to the person. So, for example, if I want to learn about Christianity, I will go to a minister. I would go to a clergy, and I will ask them about the Christian faith. Similarly, if you have a question about the religion of Islam, you go to an expert. You go to someone who studied the religion of Islam. So I think that they were honest, and I think they just wanted to just pick and choose anyone. And I think they've, by the way, I think they've talked to other people, but they pick and choose whatever goes hand in hand with
their agenda.
With their agenda.
Now you've had the opportunity to sit with some. I get really, really elated when I hear these stories about people who are sincere, and they visit you in the mosque, and they visit other Muslims in the mosque, and you've actually had people come up to you and ask you, you know, and apologize at the, and tell us those encounters you've had with people who come and they've heard, they've actually asked, they've gotten asked tough questions, even questions that are kind of timid to ask because they feel they're going to put you on the spot. You welcome those questions, right?
Yes.
Tell us some of these encounters that you've had.
One of the times, there was an elderly person. He came to the mosque and he was looking for the imam. He said he wants to speak to the imam. So I welcomed him, and I told him that I am very happy to see you, and I really thank you for coming to the masjid and, you know, to ask the right person. So we sat together, and he told me, listen, I just have a question for you. I just have a simple question, and I want a simple answer. Are you here to kill us? Are you here to take over this country? And, you know, I was shocked. But in the same time, I really understood, his fear. Because he listens, because that's what I came to understand after the meeting. is that, you know, because he came the second time and I asked him and he said, yes, I watch these mainstream media and I, you know, and they just instill fear inside of us from Islam and from Muslims. And I told him, you know, I should ask you the same question. Are you here to kill us? Are you here to take over the United States? I'm just an American citizen. I'm just like you. So why are you afraid? He said, the reason why, because we hear a lot of things and we see a lot of things, you know, on TV, and we hear from, you know, from Muslim clerics who, you know, extremists. And all. I said, extremism exists in each and every religion, each and every faith, but you cannot judge the majority by the minority. There's a small, very small group of people who wants to hijack Islam, and they misquote the Quran, they misrepresent the Quran, and they misimplement the Quran, and they misquote even the Quran. You know, so you cannot judge the many by the few. It's just a few people, and I explained to him, and I said, throughout history, you had many extremists from the Christians, from the Jews, from the Buddhists. Now in Myanmar, they're killing Muslims, and they're wiping the
Buddhists
them out.
Buddhists
are. So I said, you cannot judge. And then I explained to him, and I gave him a copy of the Quran, and I explained to him, and I showed him the ayat that talks about mercy, and also I showed him some of the verses. We discussed some of the verses that talk about violence, and then in that you cannot take them out of context, because they're talking about a specific time, they're talking about a specific place. And also, if you read any verse, and I can challenge anyone, that any verse that talks about violence, either before or after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is limiting that to defending yourself, not to transgress against other people or to attack other people.
There's a beautiful ayah, I mean, all the verses of the Quran, you guys should read it for yourself. It's the verbatim word of God. One in particular that comes to mind is chapter 60, verse 8. At God Almighty, Allah is talking about God does not forbid, Allah does not forbid you from showing kindness and being just with those who have not fought you or driven out of your land.
Yes.
I mean, that trumps all of these other verses. Can you?
And I even told you the first verse that was revealed regarding, you know, defending yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very explicit, very clear, that the reason why I give you permission to fight is to defend yourself. Yeah. And I mentioned to you also that for 13 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was persecuted, and some of his companions were killed, and they were dragged in the streets and also on the outskirts of Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not fight back. You know, we're a peaceful religion. We're just calling people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom and good speech, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. Also the verse that you mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, those people who are not attacking you, they're not fighting you, they're not being, they're not showing you any animosity, they're not driven you out from your homes, those people you should respect, and those people you should be just to them, and you should be kind to them, you should be merciful when dealing with them, you know. And this is the Quran, this is the essence of the Quran, this is the norm, is to be a kind person, to be merciful to other people, even if you don't believe in the same religion. But the exception is, coming back, the exception is in the Islam, just like any other law in the world, allows you to defend yourself. The law here in the United States gives you the right to defend yourself if you attack. Even the animals, if you attack an animal, it will defend itself. So taking these verses out of context and saying, oh, but the Quran says this, the Quran says that. But you come back, as you mentioned, to these explicit ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah does not love those who transgress against other people. It's very clear.
Case closed.
So any verse that comes after that, you should understand it on the light of this, in the light of this verse.
Let's end on a very emotional, a very positive note. It really touched my heart, and it really must have touched the person's heart. Was it in a church? It was. People got to actually hear him recite some Quran. And were these Christians that were crying?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
So every time I visit a church, you know, it happened one time 4 years ago. I went and I said, let me try this. Let me read some of the verses from the Quran. You know, it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
When you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you
God. God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
How would you define
the reason, that? The reason why I say Allah, because I don't want to use the term God, because the term God, can you can twist it, you can play around with it.
It
you
can mean
add
many
an
different
S
things,
and yeah. It becomes plural. You can add, you know, it becomes feminine if you add, you know, E-S-S, you know. So that's why I use the term Allah, because you cannot say Allah's. You cannot say Allah says. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Didn't Jesus, just to go off real quick, Jesus, he spoke Aramaic, he didn't speak English. He said Allah.
He said, you know, the last words they mentioned that Jesus said when he was on the cross, based on the biblical narrative, that he said, Ilai, Ilai, lama sabakhtani. He said, my Lord, why have thy forsaken me? So he said, Ilai, Ilai. It's like Ilahi. We say, Ya Ilahi in Arabic. And I think the term Allah is closer to the term Elohim. Elohim in Hebrew, this is the name of God. His name is Elohim. And that's why in the Bible it is mentioned when Jesus was asked by one of the rabbis, he said, Master, what is the first command that God commanded you? And then he said, Shema Israel Adna Elohim Adna Ikhad. That's in Hebrew. Elohim means God, okay? And in Aramaic, it's called also, I think, Yahweh or Ula, or it's close to Arabic. But when it comes to English, it's something else. And let me just mention one more thing. We have about 40 million Arab Christians. They call him Allah. They call him Allah. So coming back to the story, when I went to the church, I said, you know, let me try to recite some of the verses from the Quran and translate these verses. So I started reading these verses, and I translated these verses, and I tried to explain these verses to the congregation, to the crowd. And then after the program, they came to me and they were shaking my hand, and they said, this is the most beautiful thing. Wallahi, Allah is my witness, that some of them said, this is the most beautiful thing that I ever heard in my life. And then let me tell you what happened.
These were the people from the church,
Christians,
Christians.
And then the second time I went, they requested, they said, we want to hear verses from the Quran by your voice. We need you to, chant. We need you to chant. And I said, okay. And then every time I go, they would, it's upon request, they tell us, no, we want you to read some of the verses, but, you know, with your voice. So, alhamdulillah, I understood that these are these are the words of Allah. Allah actually spoke these words. And they have the barakah. You know, and some people, wallahi, some people, they were weeping. Some people, they were crying. They said, wow, this really touched our hearts. And my advice to myself and also my brothers and sisters, if you want to give da'wah, start with the Quran. It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, kitaba mubarakan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this book a blessed book. So when you want to start da'wah, either an internal da'wah or external da'wah, start with the Quran. Start with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And there you have it. Why don't you guys pick up the Quran? That would be great. I mean, start with that. You hear all of this hearsay, but go straight to the book. Read the Quran, you know, for those who want to know the message of Islam. And how about if people want to visit you, if they're in Daytona
Beach.
And yes. They want to hook up, or they want to visit you guys online and support some of your work?
Our doors and our hearts are open to everyone. And they can go to our website. I will provide you with the website, and also they can come to our
website. You can tell them right now.
www.icdb.com. They can go and they can set up a meeting with me. They can come during the prayer times, and we can sit together. We can we can discuss different things. If they have any question, they are welcome to come and ask the imam. Let's discuss any question that you have you know, any misconception that you have and you need it to be clarified, let us sit, let us drink some coffee or some tea, and let us discuss, you know. In the end of the day, we are all human beings. We are on the same ship. We are, you know, American citizens. We really want to benefit our community. We want to unite our community. We want to build bridges of understanding with other faiths, because we have two options. As this is maybe a message to everyone, we have two options. Either that we accept one another. We accept one another, we understand one another. And this is, even the Quran mentions that the reason, you know, one of the objectives why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God created us, is to understand one another. He said He created us and He divided us into nations and tribes to know one another, to know my culture, to know your culture, to know your religion, to know my religion. So this is the first option. Either that we understand, we accept one another. I don't have to agree with you, but I have to accept you. I have to respect you. Or we have the second option, which is a very bad option, which is to fight with one another and to kill one another and to think of one another as, you know, insignificant. And that's very bad. That's very bad for our for the entire human race, for the entire planet. So I think we should go with the first option, which is to come open dialogues. Let us discuss. Let us accept one another. Let us build bridges of understanding with one another.
I go with option number one. It's easy to hate, but appreciate the invitation and visit Imam Bilal here in Daytona, and visit us every week at the Dean Show. Continue to tune in. Thank you very much.
JazakAllah khair. My pleasure.
Thank you.
May Allah bless you.
We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.